Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, Jesus tells us the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And it isn't hard to figure out the lesson Jesus wants to teach us. One of the characters is superficial, and one of the characters is self-aware. One can only see his good qualities and his good fortune. One is grounded in his own imperfect self. He knows his own ugly side. One smugly shows off before God. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. The other man speaks his broken truth to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus wants us to recognize that the contrite and humble tax collector, the bad guy by society's standards, is more pleasing to God than the Pharisee, society's good guy, who follows the laws and holds a position of power and public honor. Interesting. It turns out that God is interested in the intimate and raw stories of our own lives. And God wants us to be open to God's healing and holy transformation. Did you notice that for all of the talking and the posturing, the Pharisee asks for absolutely nothing from God? Nothing. The Pharisee stands before God and passively confirms that he is already perfect. Must be nice. The tax collector standing far off doesn't waste God's time or his own. He doesn't recite a litany of all the things he has done right. In seven short words, the tax collector opens his soul to his Creator and asks God to transform him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector asks God for God's life-giving and soul-changing ways. He asks that they take root in him. The tax collector knows he needs God, and he asks God for God's help. A real relationship gets established between the tax collector and God. I've sometimes wondered if this biblical parable of Jesus's came from Jesus's encounter with the real Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, a man long assumed to be a tax collector before he met Jesus and became Jesus' disciple. Is a real man's wild hope for God's transformation hidden inside of this parable? Did Jesus wink at Matthew every time he told this parable? You know Matthew. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What I know for sure is that the tax collector's words are echoed in our opening prayer every Sunday, the Collect for Purity. When that's recited, we're all invited to stand in the tax collector's place when we hear it. The priest prays, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Cleansing is not a passive activity. Cleansing is what happens when God's holy ways meet human sin and human failing. There's nothing passive about asking God for the cleansing of your heart. And loving God and worshiping God are what we do when God mercifully forgives us our sins, our past failures, and gives us a new opportunity to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Real purpose, real love, real joy, real forgiveness are waiting. Of course, we can also look at the Pharisee and the tax collector as two different sides of the same coin. These characters in Jesus' parable are two different versions of the same character, our own character. So in addition to acknowledging that Jesus favors the tax collector in this parable, we need to recognize that both characters live in us. Both live in us. In the 21st century, the Pharisee would be better known if we called him Smug Facebook Guy. He's the unflattering Facebook self most of us fall into from time to time. I think you know what I mean. Sometimes vacation photos are only vacation photos, but sometimes they can smack of superficial superiority or a desperate grasp for the perfect life, or they come from an unhealthy need to feel special. Sometimes those vacation photos are on a post only to separate us from the crowd. And then those Pharisees' words come to mind. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. And in the 21st century, the tax collector is better known by the texting abbreviation IRL, in real life. My 20-something goddaughter Carolyn recently explained to me that when we're texting on our phones and someone adds IRS, they want us to distinguish reality from something that's happening on Facebook or another social media post or on TV. For instance, she looks imposing on TV, but IRL, she's a little insecure. Like that. And that is who the tax collector is. In real life, the self-aware, full-bodied character in each of us who knows that we fall short. No matter how good our Facebook photos, we all yell at our kids sometimes or get yelled at, forget to choose kindness, don't remember to ask for forgiveness or to give it. Failures, disappointments, insecurities happen to everyone. Says the tax collector, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And of course, there's the good news of the gospel. God does have mercy on us. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, God is always eagerly seeking us first, running towards us with the open arms of an embrace. with the open arms of the cross. Each of us is forgiven, loved, and free. Over and over and over again, God asks each of us the question the poet Mary Oliver put into words. What are you going to do with your one wild and precious life? Over and over and over again, God asks us the question Jesus asked Peter on the beach. Do you love me? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.